saw some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Father, we understand that there are wonderful promises and blessings coming our way from you. We do not want to despise our birthright. We want to embrace what you are giving to. We don't want to live like people who are lost, like people who have no hope. Rather, we'd rather light up like a Christmas tree to show the world we've got a purpose, we've got an anchor, we've got a provider. So God, help us to learn from today's word and walk a little stronger, a little straighter because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Being the firstborn child in a family was a big deal in Scripture. First of all, firstborn children were considered special to the Lord. You had to redeem them. There was a special offering you gave. God said, they're mine. And then we kind of take them back to go raise them. In fact, even firstborn animals belonged to the Lord. You would just take them to the priest and they would belong. If you wanted to redeem them, you could. The priest would set the value. You had to pay that plus 20% to take that one home. Firstborn always belonged to God. That's kind of a special place to be. Then secondly, they inherited a double portion. So if you were the firstborn in the family, you got twice as much as anybody else. A lot of people would squawk about it, but that was God's way. He said, no, firstborn, that's a special thing. So when these two boys were born, Jacob and Esau, Esau was born first. But the Lord revealed to Rebekah, the mother, that the older son would actually serve the younger. This is a revelation. Now, tradition had said, the older rules over the family, gets a double portion and all of that. But God whispers into Rebekah's ear that the older is actually going to serve the younger. That did something in her heart and mind. She decided to help God out. She decided maybe it was her place. Maybe she had to do something to make sure that would come about. But catch this. Anytime we try to make God's plan happen, rather than simply walk in obedience, the result is trouble. How many know God does not need your help? How many got up early while it was still dark to help the sun rise? You can do that, but it's not helping, okay? God does not need, in fact, God kind of resents your help. Sometimes God will delay the blessing he has promised because you're working so hard for it. And you got to finally get to the end of yourself, open up your hands and say, I give up, I quit, I stop, I can't do this. And God says, good, you've learned your lesson. Now step back and watch me work. It's a work. He'll say to you, I can't bless you while you're still trying so hard. Otherwise, you'll think this is how you do it. You kill yourself trying, and that may be how you make some money or whatever, but that's not how you get a promise from God. That's not how you make that happen. You have to respond with faith. Maybe there's no better example of this than Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael. Abraham was an old man. God had given him a promise. You're going to have many descendants. He was 75 when God made him that promise at first. And then a couple years go by and a few more years go by. And Sarah just keeps looking in the mirror and thinking, oy vey, when am I going to have this baby? And finally she says, tell you what, take my handmaid Hagar. She'll be like wife B to you. And whatever children she has, I'll consider my own and we'll get this thing done. God wants children, we'll give him children. And so Ishmael was born. Seemed like a pretty good plan or whatever. But how many know that the result of that was a lot of trouble? How many know that some of the things we're seeing in the Middle East right now are a result of them trying to help God out on a plan he already said he was going to do? Whenever, anytime we try to make God's plan happen, rather than simply walk in obedience, the result is trouble. So trust God. When you try to do these shortcuts, it becomes misery. Now Rebecca is trying to help God out and make sure that Jacob becomes the head of the household after they're gone rather than Esau. And you might wonder, well, why isn't God more revelatory? Why doesn't he make things clear, tell us a little bit more? God doesn't play loosey-goosey with his plans because what we talked about earlier, some people can't handle the truth. Some people can't wait till God develops it for them. Some people think that they get all stressed and heavy. I could never do that. That could never happen. Well, of course, you can't in your own strength. That's why it's a promise from God. You have to trust him, not trust you. And you need to understand that God's plans are always for the best. Perhaps one of the reasons is our own personality. God gives us different personalities because we have different roles to fill. It's not that one personality is better than the other. It's just this is your life. This is how God will respond to you, how you will respond to God. And so walk in faith with whatever word God gives you at the moment. God's plan is always best. God's timing is always best. Again, it doesn't feel like his timing is the best. Have you ever given God some suggestions? Have you ever tried to hurry him along? Have you ever thought, well, maybe if I do this, it'll make it go quicker? God doesn't need your help. God doesn't need your suggestions. And he doesn't like you trying to hurry him along. A little bit like when your wife is getting ready and you're trying to get somewhere. It is for us to be patient. How many love being patient? Waiting is my favorite thing. Now, they're trying to make God's promise happen. And it's frustrating everybody. And I can imagine that maybe Rebecca shared that with Jacob. Oh, the birthright is supposed to be mine. I'm supposed to be the leader of the family. How are we going to make this happen? And so one day he's cooking some stew. Smells really good. And here comes Esau in from the field and he's really hungry. And he says, aha, I see what I can do with this. Now imagine if rather than sell me your birthright, he said, hey, bro, you really look hungry. I love you, man. Have some stew. Have some bread to go along with it. I just bless you because you're my brother. I love you in the name of the Lord. That would have been trusting God. I have no idea how you make the second first and all that, but that's your word. You remember later on when Joseph had these dreams about his brothers would bow down to him. Wasn't a thing he could do to make that happen. He was smaller than all of his brothers. He wasn't going to make anybody bow down. He had to trust God in his circumstances. But here Jacob has a choice. And he chose rather to deceive his brother than bless his brother with the food that he had in hand. Now, then there's Esau. Esau was a man of the outdoors. He was a hunter. He was a hairy beast. Remember when being hairy was in? Now it's all smooth chest. Ooh, I got a chest hair. Pink. Society has gone so well. I mean, guys, remember you were teenage, you couldn't wait to get your first hair on your chest? That was a mark of honor, you know. Now it's just like, oh, there's a hair on his chest. What are we going to, the world is nuts. But anyway, I think between the two, I like Esau more than Jacob, tell you the truth. Guys out there hunting, you know, and doing all man stuff. Ugh. And there's Jacob. He's in the kitchen and he's cooking and that's nice. And all of that. And Jacob wants something. He deceives everybody. Not just here early on, but later on. He's trying to work and get more flock than his father-in-law and all that kind of stuff. He's a deceiver. You know, I hate to say this, and maybe it's a little bit heretical, but I don't know, Jacob, you're a bit of a jerk. Come on now. You're lying, you're cheating, you're doing all... He lied to his dad to steal the blessing. I mean, how convoluted is that? I need a blessing from God, so I'm going to lie. That's just wrong. Esau didn't do any of that stuff. So between the two, I kind of like Esau more. And yet God decided to bless Jacob and choose him. Why in the world would he do that? Because God was teaching us in that instance, God will bless whomever he chooses to bless. If he wants to bless the hairy one, he'll bless the hairy one. If he wants to bless the smooth one, he'll bless the smooth one. You know, it's God's choice. It's not ours. Now, okay, well, then I want to be chosen by God. Is there anything I can do to move to the front of the line? Do I have to be handsome? Do I have to be talented? Do I have to be really smart? No. God chooses to bless whoever believes in him. Bing, 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 bing. Not all of us can be handsome. Not all of us can be wealthy. Not all of us can be smart. But we can all believe in God. Hallelujah. And as soon as we walk across that threshold, but you have to walk across it. As long as you're trusting in yourself, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to do this. I'm going to impress God. You're still on the outside. All you have to do is say, I can't do this. God, I need your help. I put my faith in you. Bing, 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 bing. You're chosen. And all of the promises of God become yours. And you can put aside all that self-effort and your own way of doing things. And you have become a child of God. You're part of the family. And it's all good from that moment on. That was God's plan from the beginning. All I have to do is believe. That's why God said, if you have to become like a child. Because children can believe, right? Like nobody's business. They can be lied to very easily because they're that open. But this is the truth, not a lie. The problem is, once we become adults, we have more trouble believing the truth than the lies of the world. The world is lied to us our whole way through, so we start believing that's the way we're supposed to live, and that's how we have to do it. It's dog eat dog, you know, and fight fire with fire, and those are the things we start believing. No, no, no. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Oh, no, no, I got to help. No, no, shut up. No, you just trust in God. Just trust in God. Quit looking in the mirror and start looking up. And have faith in him, because God's plan is always best. Now, it would be hard to overstate just how important tradition was in Old Testament times, especially before Moses was given the law. Tradition was the law until the law came along. How did they know that the oldest son got twice as much? It wasn't a law, but it was tradition. That's the way they did things. They followed tradition. When they thought, how do I do it? Well, how did Dad do this? How did Grandpa do this? And it was passed down. This is how we do it. You're from a different tribe or a different nation. Maybe you do it that way. This is the way we do it. We do everything by the book, the way we were taught from little on up. Okay, so the book said that the older was in charge and the younger served the older. Revelation came to Rebekah that said, the older will serve the younger. From this we learn, revelation trumps tradition every time. Revelation from God trumps tradition every time. It does not trump the word of God. That's set. So here's a few examples. Many of you grew up in church like I did, where it was suit and tie for the gentlemen. It was long dresses and long hair put up in a bun for the ladies. And that was the tradition. People confused that with the word of God. They thought that's the way you had to go to church. And if you didn't wear a suit and tie as a man, or you didn't dress that way as a woman, you were being disrespectful and you were not welcome at church. That was the tradition. But we got to a place where we understood if we keep making that an issue, a lot of people aren't ever going to get to church. They're never going to find Jesus we're going to make that a stumbling block for them. Let's remove that stumbling block so that everybody feels welcome to come in. They'll hear the word of God. They'll put their faith in Jesus, and it'll save their soul. And a lot of the church said, yay, let's do it. So they, revelation trumped tradition, and we did that. However, quote unquote, revelation never trumps the word of God. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Now, I feel like I get a word from the Lord saying, go ahead, take that. He's got plenty, and so you don't. We just heard in Sunday school this morning, there's a law apparently in Washington State. You steal $1,000 or less, nothing happens to you. They're not going to prosecute something that tiny. Outrageous, right? But that's what they decided. But the word still says what the word says. Thou shalt not steal. Can't say, well, I've had a revelation now that it's really not all that big a deal, and so we shouldn't put somebody in jail just for that much, and so that's what we're going to do now. No, you can't change the word of God. You can change tradition. We don't wear a suit and tie. But you can't, thou shalt not. That is still thou shalt not. And we have to go according to the word of God, because God's plan is always best. Whether it makes sense to us in the moment, or it feels right, or it's comfortable, or it's easy, we still go with God's plan. You say, well, what's going on here? You know, revelation trumps tradition. Let me give you another example. When Abraham wanted to find a wife for his son Isaac, he said to his servant, put your hand on my thigh, look me in the eye, and swear to me. I mean, where are you? I don't touch anybody's thigh. This is serious stuff. You do not take Isaac back to the homeland. You go to the homeland, you find him a wife, and you bring her back here. And the servant says, well, what if she won't come back? He says, do I take Isaac? No, you never take Isaac. If she won't come back, you're freed from this oath. But under no circumstances can Isaac go back up to the homeland. Okay, now Isaac is the dad, and his son Jacob needs a wife. What does he do? He says, Jacob, take some food and go back to the homeland and find yourself a wife, and then come home someday. Now, tradition was, we don't go back to the homeland. That's the way Dad taught us. That's the way we do it. What happened that now we're sending Jacob when we wouldn't send Isaac? Well, revelation trumps tradition. And what was right for Isaac in his walk with God was not the same as what was right for Jacob as he walked with God. Did God know what he was doing in this whole mix of stuff that was going on? Well, when Jacob left, because they had tried to help God, Esau is mad enough to kill Jacob. He's threatening to kill him. That's why they send Jacob away for a while. So here we have the family of God, the people who are anointed to carry the blessing, and they're so dysfunctional. Rebekah is lying to her husband. Jacob is taking advantage of his brother Esau and lying to his dad, and all this is going on. There's anger that is there, really because of a promise God gave. But not because of the promise, but because of what they tried to help God out with. Now let God have his way for a while. Let's get them all apart for 20 years. Jacob goes up north, and he works for his father-in-law. Now Jacob was a deceiver, but Laban was like a deceiver on steroids. And he goes working for this guy. First of all, he works for 14 years for the right to marry the guy's two daughters, the dowry price. Think in your head what 14 years worth of wages is. Two wives, 14 years worth of wages. That was everything. That's what he got for 14 years worth of work, or his two wives. But Laban was trying to get it over on Jacob. But Jacob is chosen by God. So what happens by the time this thing's over, 20-year period? Jacob has done not two, but four wives. He's got 12 sons, and he walks away with more herds and flocks than his father-in-law has. His father-in-law cheated him 12 times and has less by the time it's over. Why? Because Jacob was chosen by God and he had an anointing on him. All you have to do to have that anointing on you is to believe and trust in God. Quit your conniving and all that kind of stuff, trying to get it on you. Put your faith in God and call upon him. So now we're at a point where we understand he's bringing all these flocks and herds home. Did Jacob need a double portion of the inheritance from his dad? Not at all. God gave him much more than that was even worth. So why did they even make it an issue earlier? They didn't need to, but they didn't have enough faith to believe God could do what God said he would do. Now he comes back. He even gives a lot of his flocks and herds over to Esau. Esau is coming across. He's the leader of 400 men. He's like Rambo with a bunch of Rambos behind him. And he's really doing well. But now he gets all these flocks and herds from Jacob. Did birthright and, you know, double portion and it now means nothing because God did it God's way. They may have delayed it for 20 years, but God knows what he's doing. And it's beautiful when God's plan comes together. So often people step back and say, I should have trusted him. I should have stopped this a long time ago. I wasted so much of my life. But here God could have done it the way he wanted to do it all the way along. Catch this. If God ordained it, he will complete it. If God called you to it, you will have the strength. You will have the energy. You will have the finances. You'll have whatever it takes. God will make it fit together if it's of God. If it's you, good luck. You're in for some trouble. But if you can follow the Lord, he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Believe the promises and enjoy the ride. You can stay anxious and troubled and worried, even believing God's promise. I believe it's going to happen, but how's it going to happen? And when's it going to happen? And should I be doing this? And should I be doing that? And come on. Have you ever waited with an impatient person? You're in the car. Are we there yet? I'm not, but you are. Get out now. This is your stop. Yeah. Enjoy the ride. And it's happened to you. It's happened to me. You've been all anxious. You've been all worried. And then thought, boy, it's a beautiful day. I've wasted so much of today just about things I can't do anything about. Relax. Believe the promises and enjoy the ride. Well, how can I do it? Because you're chosen. Well, how do I know? Are you trusting God? Probably not if you're all worried and anxious. So just why don't we just start right now? I surrender all, God. I've been trying to do this. I've blown it. And now I surrender over to you. I just love this. I know you've heard it from me already today, but I love that. How do you get chosen? You just choose to believe. Lord, I trust you. It's all going to work out. How do you know? Because he said it would. Because he said, and that's got to be enough. And then you walk in the lane of the chosen from there on out. You see, walk in revelation, not speculation. The world is full of speculation. That's what you get all week long. The stock market is going to crash. The grid is going to go down. That may or may not happen. I don't know. Don't care. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Not Joel Jireh. It's not Dave Jireh. It's not Lucy Jireh. It's Jehovah Jireh. When you get that wrong, when you get the wrong first name on there, good luck. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be stressed. You're going to be anxious and all that stuff. But when you get it right, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. What if the electric goes out? God's still on the throne. I don't know what's going to happen, but God will take care of us. And I put my faith and trust. Walk by revelation. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Walk by revelation. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but there'll be food on our table every time that we need it. Speculation says, you can't take this anymore. Revelation says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Speculation says, I'm so weak. Revelation says, I am strong. Speculation says, I'm poor. Revelation says, I am rich. My father is rich with houses and lands, and I'm his heir. I'm a millionaire. Hallelujah. Because God's plan is always best. Seek his face, seek his heart, and the treasure of life will follow. May take a while, but it's coming. Just trust. Don't despise your birthright. Oh, if I was only the firstborn in the family, if only my family would have treated me this way, if only they would have, you know, they're always the favorite. Let them be the favorite of the family. You are not dependent on what your mama or dad said, whether they gave you the better gifts or not, whether they left you the this or the that or gave it to someone. No, that's not who you are. You are chosen by God. And he has seen to it that you have what you need to have right now, that you can be in line with a blessing from God. When people have not blessed you as they should, that's great. It leaves room for God to show off, to show up and show off in your life. You are a child of God. So live like one. Feel like one. I am loved. I am special to him. He's got special prizes just for me. He knows my name and he loves me. Just as I am. Would you stand with me this morning? Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me. nothing can stand against. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will.
Amen. I hope you sang that song with us, but I hope you didn't sing a lie. Says, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. When I'm down, I'll sing with joy because I know you've got this and it's all going to be good. I'm not real good at that yet. I don't know about you. But we're going to trust God this morning together that we're going to be able to be people of praise even when things are hard. That we're going to trust God even when we don't understand what's going on. The darker the night, the sweeter the praise. Anybody can praise when it's going well. But we're going to trust God. He's going to help us to be people of joy, peace, and praise during the times of the storm. Father, that's a big order. It's a big order we're putting in this morning, but we want that. We want to lay down our tools. We want to lay down our labor, and we want to trust in you. We dedicate ourselves. We surrender. We want to be obedient to you. We don't want to be lazy or anything like that. But while we labor, we don't want to trust in us. We want to trust in you. That bigger rewards are going to come than we could possibly earn because we put our faith in you. So, Lord, we lay down our pride. We lay down our wounds. We lay down our scars. We lay down all that old tired lies. Well, mom and dad liked them better than they liked me. And this one cheated and they did that and they stole this. It doesn't matter. Let them have it. Jesus said, if they take your coat, give them your shirt too. What? What are you talking? Because you had a better plan. When we trust you and obey you, it turns out better than we ever could have anticipated on our own. Give up the past. Let it go. Trust your future because, God, you are our future. You're our inheritance. Hallelujah. You take care of your own. And we just bless you today and thank you. Help us, Lord, to absorb this, to remember it, to practice it when the next trial comes. May we be weird people, peculiar folk, smiling when it's hard, enjoying when it's bad, because we know that the deeper the pit, the greater the resurrection. And so we put ourselves in your hands right now, God. And maybe some people are struggling with an exact instance. This is really digging into their spirit. They're really troubled about that. They're really hurt by this or that. We just give it to you, God, and ask you to help us to get our eyes off of the trouble and on to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.